Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways, and for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
So, Shireen, I am super delighted that you're here with us today, and I'd like to introduce you to the audience now. So Shireen is a healing artist. I love that. I love the way that you've described yourself in that way, with a passion to connect with what seems separated, in particular, the conscious connection between our body and our mind and our environment, and with nature as our main teacher. So she has an academic background in psychology and medical anthropology, and she brings together 25 years of knowledge and experience in a really wide range of holistic modalities, including Gestalt therapy, osteopathy, somatic experiencing, rebalancing, deep tissue massage, visionary craniosacral work, body-oriented trauma therapy. And all of these inform Shireen's Soma healing work and the Sensate trainings. I really love the way Shireen describes embodiment. So Shireen, I saw on your website, you say, your body knows what it needs to heal. It is constantly communicating. Learn to listen before it has to speak louder with pain and illness. And then you say, welcome to yourself, Soma, your home. And I think that's just a really beautiful way of describing embodiment. So in this session, Shireen will investigate our eighth sense of body awareness, interoception, which she calls our inner martial artist. Welcome, Shireen.
Thank you so much. I feel really honored by your presentation of me, and also I'd really like to thank you, the whole organization of TEC, and I think it's just really the best positive side effect of this whole pandemic situation. I think it's the best thing we can possibly do to learn more about embodiment and to practice it, especially, yeah, considering people have, you know, physical and social distance. It's the best thing we can do. So I really, really welcome everybody here. Especially my friends who tuned in. This is so lovely you're here and to see your faces and to have this opportunity to share with you. And some of you I haven't seen for a long time, so I actually feel like I'd much rather hear from you. But anyway, so, and for the people who don't know me yet, I would really like to share my own journey of becoming more embodied and in touch with my inner healer and martial artist. I used to be completely oblivious to the signals that my body sent me. Sitting for hours at school and later at university, and then sitting for more hours studying and watching TV to relax. In combination with carrying a bag full of books always over the same shoulder, I developed a scoliosis, you know, like kind of like a bad back over the years. And it resulted in really bad back pains and headaches. Until then, my body had always been a good servant, until it wasn't. Or so it seemed. It was clear I had to change my behavior and attitude towards my body, because treatments only helped to relieve the pain for a while. while I was still doing more of the same that was causing the pain. So I became interested in body work and psychotherapy and started an intense training in both fields 20 years ago, still learning and integrating until today. In my trainings, I realized that every symptom has its good cause, the reason to be there, and that it's the body's way of communicating what's wrong and how to get back into a healthy balance. By listening to my body more and following its signals, I have not only reduced my back pain, but also managed to deal better with other stress-related symptoms. In my work as a therapist, I have evolved from doing and trying to fix someone's problems to being really present with my clients. And in my osteopathy and trauma-informed somatherapy approach, the focus is on listening to the body, following its ease of movement and subtle impulses, supporting the body's natural flow and self-healing. Working with clients, I've been noticing how difficult it seems to describe body sensations. Many jump straight to interpretations and judgments. Most people really dislike their body for not functioning and giving them pain instead of seeing the symptoms as a warning signal to prevent even worse damage to their system. So I've been developing a training that aims at health restoration and illness prevention. And it's something that my clients can practice at home, alone, and also with their partners, or even in groups. It's called Sense8 Training. And I would like to introduce you to it today and practice one of the main methods together with you. So here starts my where is it? 1 second. I can't find it. Oh, here we go. How do I get to Zoom? Sorry, I need to find how to get back to Zoom. Just a second.
So while we're Shireen's finding her item, please feel free to put in the chat where you're calling in from. It'd be really lovely to know. And if there's any particular questions that you're really keen to explore in this presentation that we can come back to later. And yeah, any thoughts you've got so far on what Shireen's been sharing.
Okay. All right. I can't see the chat right now because I'm sharing the screen.
Okay, I can keep an eye on it for you if you like. Would that, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah.
We've just got, I will continue.
Yeah, I'll just let you know we've got lots and lots of appreciation, Shireen. Oh, got people calling from lots of different parts of the world. Really excited about your talk.
Lovely. Thank you. All right. So, okay. So most people believe they have 5 senses. Some claim to have a 6th sense, but in reality, we all have a 7th and 8th sense. So our 8 senses are the first 5 we know, right? The visual sense, which where the receptors are located in the eyes, the auditory sense, where it's in the ears, we hear things, the smell, it's the olfactory system, the sense of taste, which is located in the tongue, then the tactile sense, which is located in the skin. And then there are the next three, which are not so well known. We have the vestibular sense, which is the sense of balance, and it's located in the organ of the inner ear. And then we have proprioception, which is a sense of knowing where our body is in space. So if we, you know, we know like, okay, my nose is here and I touch my nose and I know it when my eyes are closed. So the receptors for proprioception is in the joints and in the muscles. And now we come to the eighth sense, which is interoception. And that is the sense of our body awareness. And the receptors are located in the visceral organs. So we can really experience ourselves from the inside. I have to say there are different models regarding these senses, the different senses, and different ways of categorizing them. So some people would just put the vestibular and the proprioceptive sense under interoception. But I'm referring mainly also to Kelly Mahler, who also talked in the beginning of this conference. And she's also categorizing the senses into these eight senses. So what is the eighth sense, and what does it allow us to do? So with this eighth sense, we can perceive our inner world of sensations and emotions. So, which is also the basis for meeting our needs for survival. So basically, we feel how we're hungry, so we eat, we drink when we're thirsty, we notice when we're tired, so we can take a rest, etc. This eighth sense also mobilizes our body to maintain and regain health. What does that mean? For example, I feel I'm cold, I'm shivering. So I notice that, you know, I should better get something warm so I don't catch a cold so the next one is the eighth sense allows us to engage emotionally and engage in social needs. We feel the need to connect with people, we feel attraction, and we want to connect, we want to engage with other people. And we also notice and negotiate boundaries, which means we sometimes do not feel attracted. We feel a bit scared by someone maybe, and or by something that somebody does. So we feel there is a boundary, and if we notice it in time, we can set a boundary and say, you know, I don't want to engage with you, or I don't want to be in this situation, and change it. And this eighth sense really allows us to create resonance with ourselves and others, as well as our environment, and which means it's very similar to connecting and also regulating. There is this really beautiful theory of Steve Porges about co-regulation and self-regulation. So basically it's being able to calm ourselves down, either alone or with each other in connection with a partner, with a friend, with someone we trust, And also in maybe with animals, you know, that we love, and nature, to really connect with nature and calm down and relax, to be able to regenerate again. So, yeah, this brings me to the question, also especially thinking of Kelly Mahler's research again. She was working a lot with autistic people, where really this interoceptive system is not working so well. And that is quite an interesting finding, all the small details where things can go wrong, or, you know, people don't know if they're hungry or if they're tired or if they're cold. It's very difficult to judge what's going on in situations, and not possible to connect to other people. So, and there is actually a physiological, a neurological basis to a not functioning eight system. And that's also how we can know that there is another sense, basically. And, but for me, the question is always, but what about the people, you know, the general population who has a functioning interoceptive system? Why do we still disregard body signals despite all the benefits of listening to the body? So I'm just really curious what you think, what might be the reason for not listening to our bodies. And if you feel like it, I would love to hear from you in the chat. And our lovely host could maybe summarize some points.
Yeah, I'd love to, Shireen. Yeah, so David suggests that we're so busy all the time, we look away from our body sensations because we're thinking ahead. Our head is thinking ahead, planning, assessing, creating stories. I need to get this stuff done. There's just not enough time and space for body sensation awareness.
Yeah, absolutely. I so agree. Anybody else?
Yeah, Pauline suggests, oh, that's really interesting that we place much more importance to the first five senses.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Elsa is suggesting time. We just don't have time, I guess.
Yeah. And also our culture, no? That we really are so more external, as one of the participants said. That we are more focused on what do we see, what do we hear, what is on the outside, kind of forget about the inside.
Yeah, Pauline adds a bit more to that, saying those other senses are more tangible. They seem, more real, I suppose. And Alice suggests also there can be too much distraction from the outside, like noises and light, lots of stimulation from the outside.
Yeah.
And a nice one from Delphine. I hope I'm getting your name right. It will mean we'll have to change our way of living, our mental plans. What do you think of that one?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a completely change of, for me, it's a total change of paradigm. Focus inwards.
I'd just like to say, if you would like everybody to see your sharings in the chat, you can choose send to all panelists and attendees. If you send to just all panelists, only the people in the main room will see your what you've written. Another one. Are you ready for another one?
Yes, please.
From Pauline, that no one has actually taught us about interoception, so do we even know it exists?
Yeah. Good question. I mean, it's constant research now, trying to find new things, trying to be more, go more into details, understand how the body works, understand how consciousness works, how the mind works.
And Barbara says we are taught, because we are taught to not to be a body, we're taught to be more mind.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I have two more questions for you, which are a bit more personal. So this was a bit on the general side, I think, because it is a cultural and social phenomenon. Also, long dated in the history. But now, I would like to ask you some more personal questions if you're willing to feel into it. So, which body signals or needs do you disregard most often?
Yeah, and again, you may like to send your chats to all panelists and attendees. So from the previous one, David is talking about how what we're taught wins over what we feel. And then coming to your question now, which body signals or needs do you disregard most often? Lily says anger. Barbara says when to sleep. Else also agrees about being angry. David says the need for touch. Marion says tiredness. Alice says sadness and probably anger. And we have another one on sleep from Delphine.
Yeah, sleep is a biggie, no? I find,
yeah. And we've got something on boundaries. Uneasiness within a situation, the gut intuition when it is in opposition to what my head suggests. Yeah, so something about boundaries, and Lily saying grief.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, this one up, hunger.
Hunger.
Yeah.
That's a big one for me too. Yeah. I totally forget about eating when I'm stressed.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, it's thirst. Yeah, definitely thirst.
Yeah, and then I know that too, and then I get a headache and wonder why.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful, amazing. So yeah, I jumped over this one and I don't know why, but what would you say is your number one distraction from your eighth sense?
Okay, we got one come in. Alice, TV series for distraction. I enjoy that a lot. And food to not feel what's going on inside, to ignore the gut feeling.
Food, was that food?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so TV series and food. And for David, my most common way is when I think I'm busy, or when I make myself busy with something more important that I have to finish first before I go to pee or stretch or drink water. Yeah, David, I resonate with that one. And social media, Pauline says social media. This is an interesting one too. Actually being more ready awareness of the needs of other people.
Wow. That's really good to notice that.
Yeah. Ken says gaming. Delphine says eating not to feel emotions. Yeah. And Barbara talks about being alone. Getting very inward and not going out for periods of time. So forgetting that connection is important. Yeah. And setting wrong priorities from else and thinking they are the right ones. And we have another one about relations with other people, being to serve other people and fear of not being enough.
Yeah. Wow, that's really some deep insights. Thank you so much for sharing. Yeah. Yeah, in a way, it's also a bit crazy not to, to do this embodiment conference online, and it's sitting more. And but on the other hand, it is such a lovely opportunity, and as we will see, it's also actually quite helpful for our exercise that we do, that we are actually in our safe environment at home. So there are always pros and cons to all these things. I think it's about having the balance, no? Finding the balance. How much do I sit in front of the computer and how much that, you know, or do whatever is distracting me from my eighth sense, and to always somehow get back and to check in. So, and thinking about this conference, my session, and the sense eight, I remembered one of my favorite quotes from Rumi, which I would like to share with you before we get more into the practical part, which goes like this: your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. And I love this quote because I can really relate it to also other fields, like, for example, my body sense. My body sense is always there. It's just, yeah, the barriers that I have built against it, not to notice it, not to feel it, not to hear it. So one way to find out about these barriers and how to connect better with our body sense is something that I call a soma inquiry. Soma means body in Greek, so the physical body. But I personally refer to soma as my subjectively experienced body. So in a way, it's also my eighth sense. And also in embodiment circles and somatic practices, that's what people usually refer to when they say soma. So the not just the physical body, but how we experience it from the inside. And the soma method is the foundation of the sense eight training that I'm offering. And it's also an acronym, which the first letter stands for sensation. Then O for observation, M for meaning, A for activation. And I will go into it in the next slide. So, yeah, the sensation. So it's about all our sensations, not coming from all our senses. And in the method, we learn that how to really differentiate our perception, how to be able to really find the right words for them. Because it's quite difficult, no? To like really catch, like, what is the sensation inside of me? Like, how can I explain it? How can I even grasp it with my mind, no? Then we have observation. I think that's probably the most important part, that we establish an observer which is non-judgmental. So so basically to really allow all kinds of sensations to be there and just to notice them. And if there are judgments coming in, to see it as part of the meaning. So meaning means how to interpret all these sensations, my experiences. And this meaning is based on memories, on beliefs, how we interpret the world. But to really be able to differentiate between what we sense and how we interpret it. And then there's activation. Activation of the nervous system. So that's another part where we notice, okay, I've sensed something. I'm noticing it. I notice the judgments. I notice the interpretations of whatever I'm experiencing. And then it's somehow activating me, usually. We always want to fix things or change things. And before doing it, to notice it, okay, like what I'm sensing right now, it's really activating me it's bringing up emotions, maybe of fear or of sadness or excitement. It might bring up some thoughts of, ooh, like whatever comes up, no? Could be also in the positive direction, no? But usually the sadness, anger, and all these things are more difficult for us to notice and take little breaks in between before we act on whatever we're feeling. Is that clear so far, what I mean by these four? Yeah, cool, great. Then we can go to the next slide. Next slide is nothing. So that means we've arrived to our practical part. And I'm going to stop sharing my slide here so I can see you all much better. Perfect. So basically what the Soma practice is about, it's really being able to learn to differentiate the sensations from their meanings and activation. And it helps to find clarity and understanding and communicating usually non-conscious processes, as well as optimize our reactions. So, are you up for a little practical thing? So fabulous. Thanks, Barb. Yes. Let me just try and see all of you if I can do that. Yeah. Okay, so one really good thing is to prepare. To prepare our space, for example. So this is one of the positive aspects of doing things online. And I never would have thought that I can work with people online, especially with all these subtle things, noticing sensations and things like that. But it's actually really helpful to work from home, to be in your safe space. And it makes looking inwards so much more easy and safe to do. So, but there are also other things to help prepare this. So basically, make sure that you don't get interrupted, that it's a quiet space, that you're comfortable. So maybe, if you want to move right now or, change something in your seat or get a little pillow or maybe have a little sip of water. So, your basic needs are covered. Exactly, put on something warm. Hmm. Yeah. I'll also move a little bit. And also, again, checking in with our observer. And we have a neutral observer in us, a non-judgmental observer. We just need to connect with it. And also really in welcoming at the same time judgments, but knowing these are judgments. Yeah? They are just as valid. We just notice them. And also all emotions, any impulse is absolutely valid and totally welcome. So yeah, just a reminder. So whenever you feel you're getting too attached to your judgments, just remember, oh, okay, that's a judgment. It's a thought. It's there, but I put it in the category of thought or emotions. I don't take it super seriously. Yeah, in the sense of it will influence my whole practice and not allow. It's probably one of the main barriers to get in touch with our eighth sense. Also, what is really helpful is to get into an attitude of gratitude, appreciating our body and how wonderful and unique creation it is. Yeah, really saying thank you to our body. And last but not least, honoring our sensate. So the sensate for me is not just the eighth sense, but it's our inner teacher, no? Inner martial artist in the sense of taking care of us, protecting us. Really honoring it that we have this, it is functioning in ourselves, and yeah, to be grateful that, yeah, some other people don't have this or have it very much impaired, and they're, you know, we're so lost in a way. Good news is it can be trained. So even people with an impaired interoception, they can train interoception and their eighth sense. So, and but once we have it well, you know, we can improve it, even we can optimize it. So this is what this practice is for. So, all right, just yeah, get comfortable. Like, you can close your eyes, you can keep your eyes open, whatever feels best for you. I find for myself that closing my eyes helps me to go inside more. That also some people said that the eyes are really going more outwards. We also have an inner eye that goes inwards. So maybe we can connect to this inner eye. We feel safe outside. You know, we're in our own space. It's totally fine. We're safe. So we can turn inwards. You know, take a few deep breaths. Turn inwards. Connect with your body. Connect with the chair or whatever you're sitting on. And really allow your bones to settle. Allow your bones to settle. Just notice what's happening. Maybe you can already feel some barriers, like some judgments or some distractions. Just notice it. Categorize it as, thoughts, judgments. And turn back inwards and scan your body from the sensate introspective. There are different ways of doing it. Maybe you have your own way. You can, or you can, you know, start with your feet and legs first. Just kind of checking in, how do they feel? How do I feel today, right now? Yeah, move up to the pelvis and belly and chest. Just checking in one part after the other. Shoulders, arms, and hands. Neck and head and face. Just make a mental note. What do you notice most? Which sensation do you notice most, and where do you notice it? And how does it feel? And try to find the exact words, or maybe you find an image to describe this felt sense. Really describing the sensation. Most prominent sensation. I'm trying to go beyond words like good or bad. It's kind of an exploration, being curious. How can I find the perfect word to describe this, or the what is an image that comes up right away? What is it? Yeah. Really feeling it. Also notice if the sensation changes or evolves, or evolved since you brought your attention to it. And now go to the meaning part. What does this sensation mean to you? Does it carry a message? Again, sometimes images also come up, or words. And whatever comes up, it's absolutely, that's exactly the right thing. It's absolutely valid. And let's go to the activation part. Have you noticed anything that your body wants to do as a response to noticing the sensations or noticing the meaning? Have you noticed any impulses? Any emotions coming up, anything that your body wants to move? And if it's a movement, really please allow this movement and really be specific about what does your body really want right now. And really allow it, really take that space, allow your body to move. And it can be like super, super subtle movement, just teeny weeny movements of the neck or of some other joint. You might even, you know, want to get up, or whatever it is, it's completely welcome. This is exactly what we want to do. Mm-hmm. maybe you also want to make some sounds, whatever feels good for you, and really giving space to your body sensation to be heard and appreciated and followed. Yeah, and slowly, if you feel like coming back to this outer space, and if you don't feel like it, just stay in your body, enjoy your body, enjoy how it wants to flow and move, and otherwise we come slowly to the end of this exercise. And yeah, just notice how you feel now. How does your body feel now? If you do a quick check-in. Make a mental note. Maybe you can already share in the chat if you like.
Would you like me to read them, Shireen, or are you?
Yes. Yeah. Like
I feel much softer and somehow centered more.
Mm-hmm.
I feel restored and relaxed and free. I feel more free.
Mm.
Grounded.
Yeah, lovely.
I'm supported. I feel supported. It's like a reset, soft, landed in my seat.
Mm-hmm. And did you notice anything new or, you know, something surprising? Some message from your body that you haven't heard before, or like a good reminder?
Is it okay to say this? Yeah, I peed. I feel proud. I have listened to the pressure in my bladder. Okay, and I felt my head. It's just too full with information. I would really like to empty it. Mm. Getting tired was my reaction to it. That was surprising for me.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Another one, going to give myself a foot massage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another one, I thought something was tight or closed, but realized or thought maybe it's actually open there and the other side is closed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Pauline's appreciating David's idea.
Me too.
Me too.
I'm going to give myself foot massage too. Or a whole body massage. That's even better.
We can co-regulate and give each other massages.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for exploring and being curious. This is also a wonderful exercise to do with your friend, your partner, and also in groups. If we do it for ourselves, it's really, yeah, taking the time to really tune in and find out. And it's a good practice to, for example, let's say with our partners, to share how we feel. It's so useful to start with our sensations. it's a really good way to take responsibility for what we feel and to also notice, okay, this is the sensation. And, you know, maybe something my partner said or did triggered it, but it's my sensation, my emotion that is being triggered from my nervous system. To really be able to see that and to be able to communicate that, that brings so much, creates so much intimacy and compassion between friends and partners and groups of people. Basically also to be able to see somebody, understand somebody else when they're, let's say, projecting or, you know, blaming me for what they feel. It's so much faster to know that. It's like, oh, my partner, my friend, whoever is triggered and they're saying all these things because they're triggered. And I don't need to take that personally. I can if it resonates with me, but I can see, like I can notice their activation and I don't take it personally. I can just leave it with them. And for me, that's been super, super helpful with this method. Yeah, so I would like to close the presentation for now. I hope you had some useful insights. If you have some questions, there are a few minutes now available, a couple of minutes.
If you have some questions, you can post them in the Q&A.
Thank you, Alice, for joining.
We've got a minute or two for some questions. If not, I could ask you one, Shireen.
Sorry?
I could ask you. Please. I can ask you one. Although I just want to wait to see if we've got any questions on the panel from the participants first. Shall I go for it? My question was about the enteric. We have got one. Here we go. Pauline asks, how can I best connect with my more subtle organs, the pancreas, the gallbladder, etc.?
Yeah, for me it's been really helpful to know my anatomy a bit, so I actually know where my pancreas is and my bladder. The bladder is kind of easy because it's when it's full, it's easy to notice and to palpate even by touching it. But yeah, pancreas is difficult. But knowing anatomy helps, I find, and then it's the intention to connect with my organs.
Mm-hmm. And so intention is important.
We are our body, so there is a natural connection, and it's sometimes it's just the intention to bring our attention there. And then images come up, or, you know, signals from the body, sensations. And then, yeah, if it resonates, if it feels true, that's how I know I'm in connection with whatever, my heart or my gut or, yeah. Does that help?
Thank you so much, Shireen. We've come to the end of our time now. So I'm going to do a little closing and I will come back to you for the very last minute for your top tip in one sentence for how to be more embodied. So come back to you in a minute. And so in thanking Shireen, if you would like to put in the chat anything that you're taking away, I think Shireen would really love to hear that. And for me, Shireen, there was a couple of things that really stood out for me. One was the embodied way you presented today. You shared so much information and practice, but for me, the most important thing with that was that the way you delivered that, I really had the sense that you are in your body and in the moment really in the moment. And that was really, really beautiful. Yeah. And then the other one was the sense of resourcefulness, that instead of looking out there for help or support or skills, or that actually the side of going inwards, I have it all. And so that sense of resilience from resourcefulness, it's a very, not a deficit way of thinking about myself, it's very asset based, if you like. So I really, I really enjoyed that. So thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's all within us, no? We're our best resource.
Okay, boosted. And so now, just in the last minute, I'd just like to say what next. We have a Facebook group you can connect with. We have coffee breakout rooms. And there was so much there today. This recording is free for 48 hours more. And you may want to consider buying the online library. After the conference, it's twice the price. It's so brilliant for personal and professional development, just like having your shelf of books. You get all the recordings, structured learning, digest it at your own pace and time. You get summaries, audio recordings, recommended reading lists, notes, all kinds of things. If you're a trauma professional and you can't afford to buy the online library, then contact us, because we really want this work to reach out to more people. So yeah, if you're a trauma professional, contact us, email us, and we can discuss something. If you would like to donate to the charities that the Embodied Conference, Embodiment Conference supports, and donate to the Embodiment Conference itself, so that we can put on more live free events again in the future.
Yeah,
it can also be a great way to showing appreciation and supporting people who wouldn't otherwise be able to take part, if that appeals to you. So one sentence, Shireen, that you can leave us with, how to be more embodied.
For me, the understanding, your body loves you. It really does everything for you to have a great time and to grow and to heal and to regenerate. Just listen to it and love it back. Your body loves you.
Thank you so much. And thank you everyone for taking part. And the next session is Alonzo Zocchi Young, Discovering Your Hidden Treasure, Muay Thai Chi, on this channel. Thank you and bye-bye.
Thank you so much.